You're listening to the Pulled by the Root podcast. For more information, visit us on the web at www.pulledbytheroot.com.
Hello, everyone. This is your host, Heidi Marble. We are so thrilled to have an amazing guest today, Jeff Forney. So glad you're here, Jeff.
Thank you for having me, guys.
And my beautiful, amazing co-host, Amy Hansen. She's also our operations manager. I torture her regularly, so I'm really glad she's here. And Stephanie Joy Pipes is our creative director, photographer, and editor, and she is here listening in too. So, Jeff, I have to say first and foremost that your work is absolutely stunning. We'll get into that more, but I'll read your bio. So you are an adoptee in reunion, currently working on a project in the adoptee world with the Innocent People Project. Jeff aims to share the adopted experience. As he says, the truths we seek may be difficult and the healing we may do ongoing, but Jeff believes in the power of human stories and the healing it can create. He believes that we are all worthy of love. A non-adoptee's view on adoption is a non-adoptee's view on adoption. And in between is a gap he hopes to fill. Adoptees carry burdens, some being the burden of explanation, the burden to be affirming, and the burden of loyalty. As adoptees, Book of Life starts on chapter 2. How often does one purchase a book that starts on chapter 2? Confusion would set in. What's going on? Who are these people and what is their purpose? What would normally be an introductory chapter to characters and plot is now a whodunit that would impress Hitchcock. This project does not look to make a single story into a stereotype. Each story is unique and valid, adding to the many stories that make up the adoption mosaic. Though thoroughly not the case for all, nor does Jeff speak for all, this project has found that quite often people came to the adoption world with innocent intent, at the hands of the adoption industry that needs some serious reworking and legislation. We are in a global community of disconnect that is finding its voice in real time, a minority hidden in plain sight, covered in guilt, shame, and self-worth issues, as well as potentially a whole host of others. Some adoptees fall out of the adoption issues tree and only hit one branch, and some hit every single one of them. It is different for everyone. Yet we all have a common thread. Stay curious, be grateful. Gratitude loosens the grip of inadequacy, and gratitude is liberating. Wow, Jeff. First of all, I have a confession. So I did an interview, and your second chapter, I used that because that just was so great. And also just being a minority in plain sight, I really never thought about it in those terms. So thank you for giving me some more language that I could use.
Yeah, it's for us to share.
Yeah, I
heard the chapter. But... I heard the chapter 2 thing from someone else. I'm like, oh, that's a great way of thinking of
it. We're passing it on.
Yeah, you know, that's what we're here for. The more we can collectively learn and share, the better we're all going to get. Let's get ourselves all across the finish line together.
Well, I'd like to talk about your work first and your project first, and then let's sink a little deeper into some more of the personal aspects of adoption. So your photography is absolutely brilliant. It's so creative. Absolutely blown away. And I noticed that you didn't really brag about yourself in this bio at all, but you do photograph celebrities and you do it really well. Okay. So, you know, if you could tell us a little bit more about how you got into that work.
Yeah. My life has been a series of falling into things, I think, but at the end of college or my last semester of college, I fell into long story, but I end up doing some modeling and I end up living in New York and did quite a bit of that in the 90s. And then I always had a photographic eye, maybe, I don't know, but I started taking photos of friends and bands in New York City back in the early 2000s. And that led me to shooting more musicians and celebrities. We moved to LA in 2007. I think I had Ray Liotta here at the home studio back in 2015, as it were. And he went to use the restroom and he said, "What's up with the black like river rocks in your sink?" And I said, "Oh, my birth mother's kind of a hippie. It's supposed to bring good energies to the house." He said, "Oh, you just said the magic words. You're adopted. So am I." So we were like, "What?" So the rest of the photo shoot, and then we got in my car and we drove around the valley. There's a couple alleys I love to hit for some shots that I've done before. And we talked for 3 hours, from photography to, mostly the adoption, but to even photography, his acting. I mean, it was a really amazing, great 3 hours with this guy. And for the next couple of years, it was just a great story to tell at dinner parties. And then one night, I think driving home with my wife, I was like, "Well, there might be more of these stories, and I don't feel like we're sharing enough of them." So that's kind of where it started. And Ray was just a really great person to speak with, and he was the impetus behind this whole idea that there's got to be more stories out there. So,
That's so wonderful, Jeff. And I know he's gone now, and that's so sad. Did he know that your project was coming to life?
yes,
Oh,
sharing some
good.
of it with him, and I, still keep on my phone, I keep his message. And that every once in a while I'll play, and he's like, "Jeff, I really love what you're doing. I got some ideas," and he really had some other ideas he wanted to share. He's like, but he actually had to go to New York for a job, and then that job turned into another movie, which was in Dominican Republic, and that's where he passed away.
Yeah, such sad news, but I'm so glad he got to know that your project was moving forward.
Yeah.
So, the Innocent People Project, I loved reading about your ideas about innocence because it's not just directed at the adoptee. However, I do like that you referenced a mountain and we get to be on top. So, can you explain how that name came about and basically what you mean by innocence in terms of the constellation?
Yes, well, there's another adoptee, Jenny Alpert. She goes by Cammy. That's her given name that she discovered later. But Jenny Alpert, as a musician, she found her biological father living under the 101, and he was homeless. She got him off drugs and got him new teeth at the UCLA dental program, and they became a band. She was a musician, he was a musician when he was living under the highway. And now they tour around the country sharing their story. Like, he just passed away as well, like a year ago. So that, but for a while they were doing this. They had a song they wrote called Innocent People. And it was a little bit, I just heard it was like, wow, that would be a great name for this project. So, we were talking and I said, I think I'm going to use that a little bit differently, but over here in this visual aspect. And I think it really rings well with everybody in the constellation. Not always. There are some bad actors out there, but a lot of people find themselves, or at least my folks as adoptive parents, my birth mother, adoptees, we're definitely innocent in this thing. But a lot of times we get in there and we don't really realize what is in store. I don't think any adoptive parents back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s do a lot of counseling to understand what their child might be going through. So I kind of wanted to keep it very showing the aspect that we all, for the most part, came into this with good intentions, but sometimes things can go awry. Doesn't mean we don't have trauma and all those things, but that was the approach I wanted to take. And that, as well as not really turning that keyword, that key phrase you said, I don't want to turn any one story into a stereotype because there are so many of us out there. And sometimes we don't even agree on certain things. I've met adoptees that have totally different views on adoption, don't think it should even exist. I don't know how that would work, but we have differing opinions on things. So, but yeah, Innocent People was born born out of that and continuing today.
Yeah, I feel like that after listening to so many people, there is so much to be said about the innocence of all parties. And we always want somebody to blame, right? And I think adopted parents get targeted a lot because the supply, the demand, the transactional aspect of this. But honestly, I agree with you, Jeff. I think that the way that it's set up, all these vulnerable parties are being taken advantage of by a money making machine, and everybody's getting caught up in it. So I really appreciate that you have that point of view, and also the point of view that we are a variety pack. We share this very common thing. Amy, do you have any thoughts about that before I move on to some other subject matter?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, our stories are all different, and how it affects each of us is different. But like you said, I think adopted parents, Heidi as well, they get the brunt of it, but going into it, they didn't have, the knowledge. They didn't have the support. They didn't have any of that either. So I believe most people went into it with the best intentions of doing good and, making a space for a child. So things evolve as we get older and what we are able to, start putting pieces together, in our lives.
And for that, for just tacking onto that, I think, I think it was Maya Angelou maybe said, but like when you know better, do better. So I don't think we knew everything in 1968 or 62 or 58 or 78. But now that we know, let's do better because we know better. So, I would love to see some of those things change in the world. Maybe parents have to do some counseling or some therapy or training prior to adopting. And
Well, I'm really excited about your Innocence Project because originally our platform, we wanted to do a documentary, and then we realized how hard it is. But it's that just the idea that you're doing something that's giving not only voice, but beautiful imagery. Stephanie, our photographer, the power of the images that she's given to me have shown me my strength. And it's just at the weakest times, she, through her lens, she finds something. It's like magic. And I wonder if you feel that through your photography, like you're able to capture the spirit of someone, or what is that connection for you with your subject? I'm just curious about that.
I think there's all sorts of styles of photography. Mine is one that I, having been in front of the camera and knowing what I felt good with and where most comfortable and what capturing my essence when I would observe that from a photographer photographing me, I feel that the more natural someone is, and we're going to get a great image, so don't worry about trying to pose or whatever. And it's generally capturing the moment. It's a moment. Like when I do a photo shoot, I was shooting Wiz Khalifa, and I okay, we're going to shoot one in on the backdrop. We'll do one in the alleyway. We'll do one in front of that old wall that's painted down the street. A lot of times the best photo is the one in between. Like we're in the car and I'm like, oh, right, and we're just driving or we're walking to the wall where I want to shoot. And it's capturing a moment between A, B, C, and D. Usually it's the in-between spot where I capture something where somebody's just being in their essence, comfortable. I want them to feel comfortable. I let them know that, nobody has to see any of this if you don't like anything. We just want to get you and your essence. And I kind of just let the person be without having them try to be anything. Just be within themselves. And I capture a moment. I also find when I shoot bands, they're kind of pushing each other around on the when you shoot against a psych, which is the curved white wall. They're looking down, one guy's pulling the other guy's button, the other guy's like, you're something's wrong. And You know how many times I've gotten photos when they're late, I don't even know. I'm like, oh, I'm just doing light tests. I'm actually shooting and I'm getting all of that. And some of those have been the moments. I don't want people to overthink it. Overthinking a photo looks overthought. And I don't want that. I want capture the an essence, an authenticity, a realness, and let's not overthink it.
Thank you for sharing a window into your process, because some of the pictures I saw, like one of Mindy Stern that you did for the, I knew a lot about her when I looked at that photo. And I think for an adopted person, you must be getting some really cool reactions from them, seeing themselves through your art. I'm sure it's very healing for them. Could you have, do you have an example, maybe something that stands out, a moment when you shared something and somebody was like, whoa.
No, I photographed another woman from Venice, and I was totally impressed. She sent off her bio to me before I posted on Instagram, and I was like, wow, this is incredible. And she was also observing the photos I had sent to her. She was so blown away that I captured her real, honest self, and she'd never really been seen before. And I feel a lot of times adoptees don't feel seen. They don't feel like they've got anything to be seen for. So she was very effusive in her gratefulness for it. And I was surprised at how much the photo can a lot of times help. Help the adoptee. So I'm very happy. I mean, I was thinking that the sharing is a big part of it, but even just seeing yourself in that frame, it gives a feeling like I exist. I exist. I'm here. And somebody wanted my photo. Like, I don't know exactly what's going on in every adoptee's head, but I'm grateful that they're loving them. And it's creating a wonderful community that, I can't wait to have the gallery show and get everybody together. So you guys need to get in front of the camera and then we're all going
Hey, you don't have to tell me twice. I'm coming. We would love to see that, Jeff. We really would. Any thoughts about like the photography, Amy? And I don't know what your experiences have been with pictures for yourself, but.
I find it fascinating because as an adopted person, I will say I noticed pictures before I realized that adoption had caused me trauma. And I can kind of see a different smile on that face. One of innocence, really, honestly, when I think about it. And I can look back at some of those pictures and say that was before. So I do think photographs are amazing, and especially in this type of situation with the Innocent People Project. Like, I'm really excited to see more of
Man,
it.
I am too. And that's a great segue. Innocent people. So before we press record, we were talking about our children. And Jeff pointed out, and I think this is a very, very good point, that we don't often talk about how being adopted affects our parenting. And I can say for myself, my parenting was very fear-based, very clingy, because I never wanted my son to feel abandoned by me. And so a lot of those choices, and he's 26 now. There's not a lot I can do about it except try to explain to him that I understand more than I did then. But I just wonder, maybe Jeff and Amy, if you could tell me what you've noticed and why you were thinking about this, Jeff, is something you might want to touch on today.
And there's another one that I even prior that I hadn't mentioned. My wife and I were invited to our friend's 50th birthday, and they're having it in June in Jackson Hole. They have a summer home there, and they're going to do it there. And I realized I was like, wow, can I get the whole family out there? No, it's probably just be you and your wife. And I realized I've never taken an airplane ride with just my wife since my children have been born. And it's based in this, I do not want to abandon those kids. I don't want mom and dad in the air. And something, I don't want to abandon the kids. So my wife and I have never taken a We've driven to Palm Springs, we've driven to Tahoe, we've driven to San Francisco, The whole family's gone to New York 5 times, Europe 3 times. My wife's from Israel. We've gone there 15, like we travel a lot. But I was very honest with my friend whose 50th birthday is coming up, and I said, I don't know if I'm going to be ready to fly just with my wife in by June, so I don't know if this trauma is going to be dealt with by then. So I don't know if I'm making it. So, and that was really interesting. I hadn't it came I didn't really realize for the last 16 years of my older daughter's life that I've been avoiding it, and it just kind of clicked. It's like, wow, I don't want to travel unless. So that's I'm carrying that from, prior, from my trauma from earlier. And I do know I had some of that when I was 5. My parents said, we're going to San Francisco for the day, and we're going to go to the museums. And I started crying and said, I don't want to go. And they said, well, why don't you want to go? I go, I just don't want to go. And finally, they said, what is going on? I said, I don't want to be left there. You're going to take me to San Francisco. You're going to leave me there, and you're going to go home. They're like, why would we do that? I said, well, and I didn't really have an answer other than, and I didn't really, but inside me, I knew that happened before. So who knows? Maybe it's going to happen again. So I've had these protective mechanisms with my children. How I make sure not to repeat it for them. So I want to be around. I want to be in their life. I'm not flying with my wife unless they're with us, But anyway, I'm sure when they hit 18 in a couple of years, things will change. I know I'm going to have to get there, but I'm not there yet. So that's something I'm carrying with me right now.
Well, thank you for sharing something so personal, Jeff. When my son left, they had a young baby, and away they go. I literally laid on the driveway, splatted.
Oh my God.
And you know what he did? He backed up and went around the other way. And I was like, well, clearly someone's ready for a break from mom. But I think it's really important for us in the adoptee community to begin to have these conversations. Because I think so often we don't think about the fact that this affects our children, our lack of history. It's passed down. So almost this, not the same issues, but they're butted up against some of those same things. Their questions are often our questions, because they have to ask the question, who am I too, in relationship to our ancestral, lineage. So it's definitely something that requires some more digging for sure.
Absolutely.
So I'd love to go back to the mountains, Everest in particular, Jeff, when it comes to reunion. So I love what you said. Reunion is like Everest. Now you've got to climb that BITCH. Like, can you talk, if you feel comfortable, about your reunion and how you came to this conclusion?
I mean, and the phrase is I consider reunion with a birth parent as like base camp of Mount Everest, because that's the starting spot. Yeah, I know that a lot of shows on TV and like to show the reunion, and like that's the end. That's the beginning. So that's the base camp, and then you need to now figure out all the other stuff that's coming along. And it includes like my biological mother telling me how I came to be, which sometimes, from how you came to be to the situation of the parents that were the, your biological grandparents. All that led into my relinquishment or your relinquishments. These are all tougher things to deal with. And I know also that my birth mother in particular still, I think she definitely has some guilt dealing with some of the things that transpired when I was relinquished. And she, I've been told the same story for the last 30 years, but the story just changed. I'm not going to get into the details of what, but I was surprised that she is still The fact that it's so hard for her to deal with, it can even change the story so that it feels better to her. And with that info, I realized it doesn't matter how I got here now. I'm over trying to figure out what was the exact circumstance, because it seems to be changing a little bit. I realized I don't really need her to conspire in my healing. I can do my healing without her, whether I got here because of A, B, or C. I'm here. And I also realized that another person in this relationship is grieving and has shame and guilt that she's dealing with. So who knows? I might even get another story in a year or two, but I don't care anymore. I don't care what the story is. I want to deal with us together right now as this, mother son relationship or father son relationship. I want to take it for what it is and understand that there was a lot of trauma around that, and I can still go forward and heal without needing some of those things. I used to think I had to have someone say, yes, I am, I needed something from them in order for me to move forward. And I realized I don't need that. I can go forward without. So that was a kind of an interesting revelation about a year and a half ago. And I didn't think that would come up for me as well. And that did. And here I am in reunion for 30 years. So there's always something that'll come up, ladies.
Yes, as you're climbing, I see. Thank you so much for explaining that way. I don't really think I've thought of it like that, that it's not contingent upon the little tiny details.
Yeah.
It really is more relevant. And one of the things is definitely worth repeating in your bio that I love, and I wonder if this is maybe your philosophy on healing. Stay curious, grateful. Gratitude loosens the grip, and gratitude is liberating. It's hard to find gratitude when you're madder than a hornet. This has happened to you. Can you explain the mental process that you've been through as best you can to arrive at that gratitude, that curiosity?
Well, how I arrived at that, I feel it probably took some twists and turns, but if I sit here and try to say, well, why am I here? Well, my birth mother didn't want me, my birth father didn't want me, and there are adoptees that kind of stay right in that spot and say, I was unwanted. I don't feel that that's, I do a lot of reading. I've listened to a lot of other podcasts, even sometimes, Gabor Mate's got interesting things to say. But and he did say one thing. Yeah, I picked it up from him. He was like, the universe wanted you here, even if your parents didn't. And then he was talking about something else. But I was like, wow, that's really good to think about in the adoptee world, that even if our biological roots didn't or couldn't take care of us and needed to relinquish due to parental pressure or whatever, the universe needed us here for something. And if I can stay in that mode, and I can be grateful for what I have. Life growing up wasn't perfect. I don't know if anybody's was, but the more grateful I do know, and even before I kind of took it into the adoption world, gratitude and gratefulness, I know if I'm grateful and full of gratitude, it lessens the grip of inadequacy that I might be comparing to someone else. So the gratitude is where I like to keep myself. I'm grateful that I got air in my lungs right now. I got a heartbeat in my chest. Grateful for that. So coming from that angle on things, I think it was a little bit of a hodgepodge, picking little pieces here and there and how things work, and reading poems to reading, I love Mindy Stern. She's another adoptee. Like, wow. She,
We
you know,
love her too.
you know, she's got a great quote that I keep up, that says, to the effect of, we are the relinquished, we are the chosen, we're the abandoned, we're the loved. Showing both sides of everything. We are everything. Allow us our entirety. Like, we get to be all of it. We are the chosen, and we are the abandoned, and we're the loved, and we're the relinquished. Yes, we are all. Yeah, that's us. That is us. And sometimes I think people don't really understand that we have so much of this going on in our beings as adoptees. And I think that's also one thing, because adoptees don't look necessarily like each other of a certain, ethnicity or religion. So it's hard to find that group and start applying some tools to help it, because you can't really see us in plain sight unless we raise our hand or we have a scarlet letter. So I think it's good that we're starting to make our voices heard, and as a community, we can get further along, make some changes, and probably most importantly, making the change within ourselves that we're happy and grateful to be where we are, whether it was a crappy start to life and whether we got crappy parents or not. Sometimes bio kids get crappy parents,
Oh,
but
yeah.
just stay in the gratitude of that we're here on Earth. And I find that I get more power out of it. I find that it turns things that would have been a little bit more of an Achilles heel. Growing up, when my neighbors would say, "Oh, Jeff, aren't you adopted?" And she would say it just to kind of, dig into me. And now, if someone were to say something, "As a matter of fact, yes, I am. And how can I help you?" Like, there's something to it. So recognizing the uniqueness of our lives, and staying grateful has really helped a lot with that. Yeah.
No, I appreciate that because I actually think that's the more difficult choice. I do. I think you have to be a lot more engaged. At least that's my personal opinion. It just,
Yeah.
you know, and it's interesting because I have this quote box, Jeff, and before every interview, I love quotes. And I pulled one out before our interview, and I think it'd be interesting to insert it here because, you know, who knows? But this is what it says. Do not let your fire go out, spark by irreplaceable spark in the hopeless swamps of the approximate and the not quite, the not yet, the not at all. Do not let the hero in your soul perish in the lonely frustration for the life you thought you deserved, but have never been able to reach. Check your road and the nature of your battle.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I thought so too. And it just felt like that was meant for you.
Thank you. I love it. You're gonna have to send me that in an
I
email.
will.
Like,
I
yeah.
will. I will, Jeff. I'm a quotaholic, if that's a thing. Not sure. But I do love what you were saying too about that process of how do you get to gratitude? So you said for yourself, tapping into the arts, reading things, all of
Yeah.
that. So let's say, just for example, you're having a really tough day. And that gratitude's a little harder to access. For those that are really down right now, what are one of the processes that you use if you're just like really hit hard by something, if you don't mind sharing?
If I'm really, depending on what time of the day it is, if I need to stop and get outside and take a walk, I'll do that. I also will take a time out and sit and try to get in a meditation, even if I've done one in the morning and I but by the afternoon, shit's gone to hell. I had another meditation myself, but
Yeah, why not?
I will, I try to calm myself down, but that's probably one of my, I'm very, I can get reactive. And especially if I see things that are unfair to other people, I think, I don't know if we all have this, but I have a very, like, if anybody's messing with somebody who's on the LGBTQ community and I'm in line at Ralph's, I'm like, excuse me, I think, I will step in, or I will step in if someone's being not nice to So, like I'm like a fairness expert. So
that.
I need like sometimes though I need to kind of like, all right, calm down. Like I don't need to like make stamp out every inequality I see everywhere. Even though mine, you know, our lives started with this, I need to also not be doing it all the time. But you try to take a little break, walk, or listen to some music. That's my, you know, or sometimes I will just, you know, I'm driving in the car and I'll sit in my anger for a moment and, you know, but I'm just talking to myself. I do know I won't write an email in anger, so I'm not afraid of doing that. I won't make a phone call. So if I need to play some music and, you know, crank it up a little bit and yell and, you know, profane words, whatever I need to do, sometimes that'll even help. But I do that in silence away, but yeah, I can get, I'm working more on being more responsive as opposed to reactive. Not react is the off the cuff thing. The response is the hold the thought, think about it, and then return it with grace. So I'm trying to keep a little more grace in my life.
You got me there, Jeff. I'm telling you, Amy, I don't know about you, but reactivity is the go-to. And
Oh,
I
yeah.
love that idea of transferring that to responding instead. I've never heard it stated like that. Bravo.
Jeff, it sounds like you've had a good many years of going through like your reunion and understanding your adoption and whatnot. And I think that says a lot in itself is that you're becoming in tune with your body, with your nervous system, and how to just, I mean, you know, feel the moment. That's okay, but know how to bring yourself back down and ground yourself and respond the way that you want to.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. That's
Well,
really good.
yeah, and what you said, I'm also starting to notice the markers when they come
Yes.
up. Like what, like I'm now able to say, oh, okay, this is coming at me. The anger that's happening here, is coming from this adoption trauma that I haven't dealt with, and I recognize what it is, and when I can recognize why I'm feeling that way, I'm halfway to a solution and feeling better. And it's when I don't know why I'm doing that, and I've done therapy, and I'm kind of like, I don't know where this, but as soon as I can start finding its root, where it's coming from, it helps a lot. And I even had a conversation with my younger daughter last week, and I said, I want to apologize. There was an interaction, and I told her, you know, I'm sorry, I'm learning some things about myself and parenting as an adoptee, and that hit a little spot. And I want to apologize. I'm working on it too. And we had a great hug, and she says, I know, Dad, I know. And you know, we're just dealing with this stuff. So we don't know everything. And
No.
I'm a middle-aged dude who's still trying to figure out things. But that's why I then texted another adoptee who just had a kid. And I was like, I think we need to look into how much our parenting is affected, not how much we're dealing with the parent that relinquished us or the parents that took us, but the as a parent ourselves to our children, there's things we still need to learn to be better.
It's
So
so true. It's so true,
that
Jeff. And I know it's such an emotional thing when we're talking about our kids. And I just feel you. I want to say that because I think having your parent be that vulnerable,
was
what a gift you gave to your daughter, Jeff. Seriously, like for you to be able to pinpoint that, I know that meant so much to her to see you. And to see that part of your heart, job well done on that. I know it's really, really difficult, but I think we, like you said, you know, going in and pinpointing what is this? See, you were able to articulate that to your daughter.
Yeah. And I hadn't ever
Gosh.
done, I hadn't been able to figure that one out. And I was like, oh,
Yeah, but that's, I
yeah.
mean, that's where I really think that's where the healing starts to begin between parent and child. And I hope that there's no age limit on that.
No,
So
no problem.
I hope we can continue. Thank you for sharing that, Jeff. That meant a lot to hear that you handled that so beautifully. No,
Yeah.
that
Thanks.
I priorly would not have handled it so beautifully, but I'm
Hey,
learning. I'm a
you're
student of
here.
life. I'm a student
Yeah.
of life, and as we all are.
We're just doing the best we can. Well, there's a few other things I just wanted to cover before. I know everybody's busy and needs to move on, but I am so into creativity. I wish that I had singing voice or some sort of skills. We all have our gifts, but I love what you said in this interview. I'm going to hold this up for you. When you were asked, what is the most rewarding aspect of being creative? And can I read it?
I don't even remember what I wrote. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So let me remind you, this is what she said. The most rewarding aspect of being a creative is that I get to work with people pursuing their dreams. It's inspiring. I love that my camera gives me access to those who have chosen to forego a sensible career and follow their calling. We need more of that. We need more creation, community, conversation, patience, vulnerability, empathy, and understanding. We can learn a heck of a lot through art and the creation of it. So my vote is a lot of healing happens in creating whatever that looks like. We all don't have to be at your level, Jeff, although that'd be really cool. I wouldn't mind being able to photograph some of the people you have, but what can you tell the adopted people out there or anyone who's listening in the constellation about what creation has meant to you and how you think it can affect other people? I mean, you said it so beautifully in this article, but I think it's especially critical when people are dealing with the kind of trauma we are and maybe don't have the voice. But if they can express it in a different way, yeah.
Yeah, I found that being in the creative world really it was something I needed when I got into it. I wasn't thinking that I was going to be expressing my I needed to do it to express something in me, somebody in me, and I and that was a necessary thing that I needed to do. Like, to back up, being raised by parents I wasn't biologically related to, a lot of adoptees have an idea that, well, I didn't know who I was because I didn't have anything to, like, because my parents weren't my real parents, I didn't really know my identity. I kind of look at it a little differently because my adoptive parents, I wasn't biologically related to him. I wasn't beholden to do what my dad did. I wasn't beholden to do what my mom did. I knew there was a little disconnect in there, as wonderful as they were. So I felt more free to pursue a world of art or something and not in the business world or whatever it was they were doing. And for some reason, the art for me allowed me to be the best version of me. And that's where I felt I fit. And it started out, it's one thing led to another. Then I got into the photography, and it really was the Ray Liotta moment where I, and it took 2 years of me telling this at dinner parties before I said, wait a minute, there's like even more to this. And then it came. But I knew though it was doing something before the Ray Liotta, before I knew that art was allowing me to express myself. I'm a people person. And I love the way, aesthetically, I like the way, my house or I put things together. And so the photography was a great expression of being true to me and putting it out there, and happy that was able to get to this next spot where I'm actually applying it now to the adoption mosaic that we all live in. So and I met so many different people through the photography world, non-adoptees, some adoptees, but it's It's been a fascinating window into other people's lives. And as an adoptee, we didn't always know what it was like being in someone else's home that had biological parents. Sometimes we're, I was convinced they were having a better time or they have a better situation. So for me, the best way for me to ask a question or to get in front of the person that I'd like to ask the question of, a camera in hand was my modus operandi. So that really helped in understanding myself better. And then this little Easter egg showed up in the form of Ray Liotta. So it just went from there.
Yeah, it's amazing. I do think that creative zone, it just throws doors wide open inside of our own spirit to feel free, and then that connects us with other people. I just think it's a really powerful thing in whatever form it takes, for sure. Amy, any thoughts about creativity?
No, I mean, I'm not very creative, but
I would beg to differ.
I mean, you guys are doing a podcast. That's creative right there.
I know. Yeah, but I want to go back to what Jeff said, and I found this so fascinating, is that when you said your adopted family, you felt that you didn't have to conform and that you were able to take your path. And I'm going, thinking back to myself, and I'm thinking, I thought I had to conform. Like, I thought that's the way I was going to survive, is like, I wanted to maybe be a teacher one day, but my dad was in business. I should get a marketing degree. You know, like, so I like think back, and I just find that actually just amazing. And I bet there are a lot of adoptees like you and some like me too, but that you just went on your path, and that's awesome, 'cause look where it has put you, right?
No, thank you. I saw it as I saw my career choices as being something that I could really do on my own. I didn't think my parents would expect me to do exactly what they did, being that I'm not of their blood or, it just gave me more room to play with what do I want to make this life be? How do I want to go through it? And I didn't feel beholden
That's
and
awesome.
felt I could
I
go
think
with
that's awesome too. And I think it's a wonderful message to have people rethink. And we hope we're reaching a lot of young adopted people too, that, the OGs can help them out.
No, anytime an adoptee wants to talk or And I know some a friend that I saw last weekend. He knows of a couple that are going to adopt, and he said, "Would it be okay if I had them talk to you?" I said, "Absolutely, no problem." Anytime I can help in that process prior to what you might expect to having a teenager that's adopted or a young adult that's looking to find, and we all need a little help
We
and.
sure do, Jeff.
All there's some spots that we all have that some little weaknesses in the armor that you hit that one little spot and it you need help with these things. So
Yeah, we definitely need each other, and it's such an incredible community. Oh, our time together has been so great, Jeff. Is there anything we didn't cover that you wanted to talk about, or do you have a final message for all the beautiful people out there? Just anything encouraging for them?
I would just reiterate, try to stay in the gratitude and the knowledge that even if you feel that your biological parents didn't want you, things more powerful than our parents needed us here. So that's why we're here right now. And if anybody ever wants to get a, any you interview anybody that wants a photo for the Innocent People Project, feel free to send them my way. I travel a bit, or if they happen to be in LA, but let's try to, and I'd love to get you guys in front of the camera too. And at some point I want to have a gallery show in LA and with a barbecue here at the house.
Oh, talk about
I mean,
food. I'm there.
let's get 50 adoptees in the backyard. Let's do that.
Okay, Jeff, what you need to know about me is I can throw down in the kitchen. So
Yeah, let's do it. Like,
Oh
there's
my
so
gosh, I
much.
would die. I would love to bring all these lovely people and we could just have a
Yeah.
party. That'd be amazing.
And I am surprised how many adoptees don't have, like, I photographed a couple people last couple weeks. They're like, I don't know anybody. I don't know any adoptees. How did you find
Yeah.
me? I found through whatever. She's like, well, that's the one adoptee I do know. That's how you found me? I said, yep. They don't know anybody else. They've never been in a meeting or discussed any of this stuff. It's we need to, cast the net and get us together here.
Yes, and I think your project is doing that in such a beautiful and honoring way. And I'm
Well,
just so
thank you.
excited to hear what's next. Real quick before we go, can you give us an update on the project? Is
I've shot probably 35 adoptees, and I think I want to do
Wow.
most of this year shooting more, 'cause I'd like to have about 70, 75, and then I'm going to start working on getting a gallery here in LA. And
Beautiful.
I feel it's something that's more than just photos. It's a real, there's a real message to this stuff, and let's get this movement out there. So,
So
yeah.
excited, Jeff. Thank you for doing that work and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you guys so much for having me, and hope to see you guys in person soon.
Oh, we'd love
That'd
that,
be
Jeff. And if you ever
great.
want to come back and talk more about the project, we would love it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. We hope it meant something to you. Tell us your story, learn more about our mission, and support the podcast at www.pulledbytheroot.com.